The truck people had camped in the road itself. They'd built a fire there, and charred billets of wood lay stuck in the melted tar, together with ash and bones. He squatted and held his hand over the tar, a faint warmth coming off of it. He stood and looked down the road. Then he took the boy with him into the woods. "I want you to wait here," he said. "I won't be far away. I'll be able to hear you if you call."
"Take me with you,"
the boy said. He looked as if he was going to cry. "No, I want you to wait here."
"Please, Papa."
"Stop it. I want you to do what I say. Take the gun."
"I don't want the gun."
"I didn't ask you if you wanted it. Take it." He walked out through the woods to where they'd left the cart. It was still lying there, but it had been plundered. The few things they hadn't taken, scattered in the leaves, some books and toys belonging to the boy, his old shoes and some pieces of clothing. He righted the cart and put the boy's things in it and wheeled it out to the road. Then he went back. There was nothing there. Dried blood, dark in the leaves. The boy's knapsack was gone. Coming back, he found the bones and the skin piled together with rocks over them. A pool of guts. He pushed at the bones with the toe of his boot. They looked to have been boiled. No pieces of clothing. Dark was coming on again, and it was already very cold. And he turned and went out to where he'd left the boy, and knelt and put his arms around him and held him. They pushed the cart through the woods as far as the old road and left it there, and headed south along the road, hurrying against the dark. The boy was stumbling, he was so tired, and the man picked him up and swung him onto his shoulders, and they went on. By the time they got to the bridge, there was scarcely light at all. He put the boy down, and they felt their way down the embankment. Under the bridge, he got out his lighter and lit it and swept the ground with the flickering light. Sand and gravel washed up from the creek. He set down the knapsack and put away the lighter and took hold of the boy by the shoulders. He could just make him out in the darkness. "I want you to wait here," he said. "I'm going for wood. We have to have a fire."
"I'm scared."
"I know. But I'm just a little ways, and I'll be able to hear you. So if you get scared, you call me, and I'll come right away."
"I'm really scared."
"The sooner I go, the sooner I'll be back, and we'll have a fire, and then you won't be scared any more. Now don't lie down. If you lie down, you'll fall asleep, and then if I call you, you won't answer, and I won't be able to find you. Do you understand?" The boy didn't answer. He was close to losing his temper with him. And then he realized that he was shaking his head in the dark.
"Okay," he said. "Okay."
He scrambled up the bank and into the woods, holding his hands out in front of him. There was wood everywhere, dead limbs and branches scattered over the ground. He shuffled along, kicking them into a pile, and when he had an armful, he stopped and gathered them up and called the boy, and the boy answered and talked him back to the bridge. They sat in the darkness while he shaved sticks into a pile with his knife and broke up the small branches with his hands. He took the lighter from his pocket and struck the wheel with his thumb. He used gasoline in the lighter, and it burned with a frail blue flame, and he bent and set the tinder alight and watched the fire climb upward through the wicker of limbs. He piled on more wood and bent and blew gently at the base of the little blaze and arranged the wood with his hands, shaping the fire just so. He made two more trips into the woods, dragging armloads of brush and limbs to the bridge and shoving them over the side. He could see the glow of the fire from some distance, but he didn't think it could be seen from the other road. Below the bridge was a dark pool of standing water among the rocks, a rim of shelving ice. He stood on the bridge and shoved the last pile of wood over, his breath white in the glow of the firelight. He sat in the sand and inventoried the contents of the knapsack. The binoculars, a half-pint bottle of gasoline, almost full, the bottle of water, a pair of pliers, two spoons. He set everything out in a row. There were 5 small tins of food, and he chose a can of sausages and 1 of corn. And he opened these with a little army can opener and set them at the edge of the fire, and they sat watching the labels char and curl. When the corn began to steam, he took the cans from the fire with the pliers, and they sat, bent over them with their spoons, eating slowly. The boy was nodding with sleep.